I attended Lafette Missionary Baptist Church for several years with my wife when we first got married. And Brother Curtis was actually pastor there when we started. He was actually pastor there when my wife got saved several years ago. And we had visited him a couple of times at Buffalo Springs. But I'm thankful for the church here. I'm thankful that they allow me to come and try to stand and do what the Lord has called me to do. I ask you to pray for me tonight as I try to stand here and do what he'd have me to do. You know that I can just get myself out of the way and let him have it and just be his will, and whatever be done will be all his. And I ask each and every one of you that, you know, ain't none of us knows how to conduct a service. It's all his. You just follow the Lord. Don't worry about me or anything else. If he puts something on you, I pray that you do it. Just don't sit down on him. That's something I've done for many years, and you know, I have a lot of regrets of it and things. But for those of you who don't know me, my name is Tim Lowhorn. Born and raised in Lafette, Tennessee. Growing up, I lived about 2/10 of a mile from Brattontown Missionary Baptist Church, if anybody's familiar with that area. Just right up the road was just like 2/10 of a mile toward the airport. And growing up, I wasn't made to go to church a whole lot. I was, you know, I went a time or two during the year. During revival, I had to go to church. That's what I was told to do. And then back then, you had a day service revival and a night service revival. And back then, you could let your kids go and wander and play out and go do things and run around and ride your bicycle everywhere. And I rode mine everywhere I could get on it. But during revival, I was old enough, my mother told me if I could ride my bicycle all over town, I could ride it to church during day service. And I knew that if I didn't, my grandfather lived on one side and his brother lived across the street. If I didn't, I know that I was going to get scolded pretty good when mom and daddy got home for not going. And you know, my parents, I know, loved me, but I was raised in a household of two different denominations. I had one that was one missionary Baptist, and I don't know if that's why I wasn't ever made to go to church a whole lot, but I was never pushed one way or the other. It was kind of, I guess, my decision, you know, and I'm glad God come in and led me the right one. But you know what? I would ride my bicycle to revival, and that Wednesday, it was probably about 2 weeks before my 10th birthday. I'd been under conviction for a while, but like I said, I didn't go to church enough to understand truly what was going on. I just knew I was scared. I was scared to death I was going to die, and I never did really understand why. But that particular year, right before my 10th birthday, God got a hold to me, and I listened, and I understood what I needed to get that fear to go away. And I can tell you now that I went to the altar a few times, and of course the devil was set in and tell me I didn't need to go to the altar. He works on us all in different ways. But that particular day I was there, and I was sitting on the fourth row back on the right-hand side from here, right on the aisle, and I don't have a clue what the preacher said that day. All I know is I sat there the whole time praying to God that sitting in the A women's corner, and sure enough, she'd come around the corner to see me, and all I did was have to look up at her, and as soon as I looked up, she knew. She knew from the look on my face. She said, "You ready to shake hands?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm ready. I've got what I need." And you know, that's something that was always special to me. I remember growing up, as a child, you know, if you wasn't saved, you sat in the back. I remember sitting in the back of the house when I did go, and they'd get up and do a handshake. Mama would be like, "You got to stay here." Never fully understood it to them, but I always wanted that, and this is something that's still special to me today, is when we do a Christian handshake. That's just something that I love to do. It's special to me. It means a lot to me. But he saved my soul, and I've told it many times. I left church and went home, and when I got home, there wasn't nobody there but my uncle. He lived with us at the time and worked third shift, and he always told me that he had an old Jeep and didn't have the top on. He said, if it looks like it's going to rain, you let me know so we can get the top on. And you got to think, this is about the third week of July. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, but I was just itching to tell somebody. So I woke him up like it was going to rain, and of course he just looking around wanted to know where the clouds was, but I just finally come out and told him, but I didn't get the reaction that I got from everybody at church like I thought I was going to get. He was just like, well, that's good, and he went on back to bed. Well, instantly the devil took over and told him, there you go. See, that ain't what you think it is. It's nothing. It's not a big deal. So mama gets home, and I'm almost a 10-year-old boy. I'm just doing my thing. But my grandmother, or great-grandmother, had called and told her, and of course, directly she was hollering, wanting to know if I had something I need to tell her. I was like, yeah, I got saved today. And why hadn't you told me? I said, well, it didn't seem like such a big deal when I got home. Buddy, ain't it ever a big deal to let somebody know? I joined the church there later that week, got baptized into Brattontown in August 2nd, 1981. In 2005, well, actually, let me step back a minute. I was 10 years old at that time. In 1993, a month after my 22nd birthday, I was sitting on Highway 52 in an apartment that some friends of mine and my wife, and I can take you right now and show you where I was at. But I was sitting there on a love seat, and my friend was talking to him over on the right, and the Lord passed through and told me I needed to carry his word. I'm going to tell you, like I've always told it, I thought I'd gone crazy. I thought, there's no way. This can't be. The lifestyle that I was living at the time was nowhere near what a Christian should be living. And definitely wasn't somebody that needed to be trying to carry God's word. I thought I could do a lot of things. I tried to tell myself that I was too young. There was no way that I could do it. All the excuses that you've ever heard preachers tell that they've come up with, I thought of them probably more than once to get out of it. When me and my wife got married and had our children, we started attending church pretty regular, and I thought, this is it. If I just attend church like I need to and so forth, it'll be all right. And I joined LaFed in 2005. It didn't let up none. I could get by for a little while sometimes without it getting to me, and then when it set in, it set in. But I was kept coming up with every excuse I could to try to get out of it, to tell them it wasn't me. I'd even tell my wife time to time, I think I'd been called to preach, and I'd say, no, it's just me thinking. It's in my head. It ain't me. And of course, she'd be, okay then. That's fine. Well, finally, 2018, there was a man come to work for me that was a missionary Baptist preacher that lived in Lafayette, Tennessee all his life, and I'd never heard of him, didn't know him, nothing. And this is where I'm telling you, the Lord will put people in your life to get you in the right direction sometimes that you need. This man never said nothing much to me. He talked about church some, told me he's a preacher and things, and knew I'd been saved and stuff. He never talked to me much about anything, just in church. I don't think he had a clue that I was running. One night it finally got to me after about 4 or 5 months, and I finally told him, pulled him to the side, and I said, Jack, I think I've been called to preach. And I knew I'd caught him off guard. And he looked at me for a minute and he said, "Well, you're just going to take that up with the Lord. That's all I know to tell you." Then he come back a little bit later and he said, "Let me tell you something. I heard another preacher tell a young man one time and told him the same thing. He said, forget about it." Well, I instantly knew when he said forget about it where he was going. So probably a week or two went by, and he asked me if I got anything. I said, "All I know is where I was at and what I was doing when I got it." And I said, and I knew deep down inside, I knew the whole time that I was called. I was just trying to come up with, I think I just want him to tell me I wouldn't. And he looked at me and he said, "I can't tell you one way or the other, but I can tell you this. You got a time and a place just the same as you was the day you got saved." And I said, "You're right." Well, about a week or so later, the Lord had enough of me, and he finally let me see some things that I didn't want to see, let me know what he could do if I didn't do what I needed to do for him. That was on a Tuesday. That Sunday, which I think was September the 16th, 18th, right in there, 2018, 5 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and it felt like he was just standing over me. "Let me know this is the day you're going to do this. You've put it off long enough. It's time for you to do what I need you to do. I ain't putting up with it no more." So I went outside, and from 5 o'clock that morning to 9 o'clock that morning, I prayed pretty hard on my back deck the whole time for 4 hours. Me and my wife was going to go actually visit New Design that morning. And then I walked in and I woke her up and I said, "We're going to have to go to Lafayette." And she just looked at me and said, "If that's what we need to do." I said, "That's what I've got to do." So we got up that morning. We went to Lafayette. I made it through two songs before I had to stand up and tell them that 25 years ago to the month, the Lord had called me to preach. And you talking about some looks from people when you tell them 25 years. And I know why. I don't know how I done it. I don't know how I got through with no more whippings and things that happened than they did. Man, that's a lot I've got to answer for one day, because it sets in on me sometimes now, and I think, you know, in 25 years, what could I have done? If it had just been one person I could have helped or anything, what could I have done? But I also know that once I started, I got to move forward, and I can't look back. And that's what I've been trying to do now for 3 years. I go wherever I can get in the door at and try to stand and do what the Lord would have me to do. And I'm not going to say it ain't a struggle. It's a struggle sometimes, but it's also the biggest blessing I've ever had. You know, from the time that I got called to the time I told it 25 years later, I instantly got blessings. As soon as I told it, I was blessed. A couple weeks after I told my calling, my wife had been saved since she was 14 years old and never had united with the church. She found New Design was her home, and that's where she needed to be. If I'd ever seen nothing else, that was a blessing enough for me. But you know, I've had a lot of good things happen. I've had more blessings than I could imagine even before I owned my calling. But since I've told it, it's amazing to me, and I don't know why it is, because I know God's amazing, but it still amazes me the things that he can do for us on a daily basis. The day I told my calling, my oldest son was off in college. I think he was still in Chattanooga at the time, and I knew he couldn't be there, so I called him, and I told him, I said, "You know, I've been called to preach, and I'm going to tell it today." And his reaction was, "I kind of thought that in the back of my head anyway." So the last 6 months, probably before 3 months, four, whatever, before I told my calling, things got pretty rough, and I guess that people could see things that I couldn't see coming out of me. But when I got to church that morning and told it and went up front and people coming around shaking my hand, talking to me and things, my youngest son comes through and hugs my neck, and the only thing he says was, "I knew it. I knew it the whole time." I said, "Well, I wished you would have told me." But you know, those things are special to me. And it was a weight off of me, you know, but and I'm glad I done it, but it's funny how sometimes the obvious, it's other people can see it really well, and even though you think you're hiding it really well. So, I've been several places since then and tried to do the best I can do and my feeble way, but I just want to serve the Lord. That's all I want to do anymore, and we struggle and battle with it, and everything wants to come out in your way, and you step back, and you, as soon as something happens, you're just like, "Well, you know, what's this happened to me for?" But that's kind of what I want to touch on tonight, if the Lord, it'd be His will. He gave me a thought. I think I called, I don't remember exactly who I think it was I talked to the other day, but I think it was Tuesday I called and asked to get an appointment here. And the brother I talked to said that he explained everything to me about maybe be a night appointment or so forth. Didn't know when it'd be, that y'all had a committee together for a pastor, and he would pass it on to them. And I never dreamed it'd be this quick when the brother called me yesterday and wanted to know if I could come tonight, which I really like, because it gives me a whole lot less time to sit back and overthink things and try to figure out this, and then of course the devil telling me this and this and moving around. So I like the short notice, and the Lord gave me a thought when I was praying to Him yesterday after I got the call about what I needed to do. And if you have your Bibles and you want to read along, I ain't got a lot of scripture tonight, but I got just a couple of pieces here I want to read to you and see what the Lord will have with it. But in this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, it's very familiar, I know, to most, being the chapter of faith. But this is what's come to me here for tonight, and I'm just going to see what the Lord have of it. But I want to start in chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went." I want to talk to you a minute about the faith that we have today and the faith that we show today and how it affects the rest of the world and the way the things are today in the world. You know, bad things are going to happen to all of us from time to time. God never said that it was going to be easy and it was going to be perfect. There's going to be things that come into our life that'll be stumbling blocks, if you want to say, or just things that's going to happen to get you to turn or to try to get you to think the other way. You know, the devil's behind it from time to time. Sometimes I think God does it just to test us, to make sure that we're still going to turn to Him. But my thought is how we handle any kind of thing that happens to us. Because most of the time, if we're out in the world and everything's going just as smooth and straight like we want it to, and something comes in and takes it off of that path or gives us a turn, all we want to do, the first reaction we have is, "Why is this happening? What's going on? What did I do for this?" Or, you know, "Why me?" Well, my thought is, we do that, but the people around us see that just the same, too. They see how we react as God's children. And people watch us to see sometimes just how God's children react to tragedy or, you know, just things that get in their way, and they want to know what we're going to do. They might not say nothing, but people stand back and watch. A lot of them just stand back and watch just because they want to see you fail. They want to see you do something you ain't supposed to do. That's what our world has come to today. They don't want to pray for one another. They want to see you as a good Christian, got one of God's children. They want to see you fail just so they can say something about you or the church you go to or the way you believe. And the world has got so twisted up and turned these days that nobody wants to turn to God for nothing. Nobody fears God anymore. You know, that's the problem that we've run into, all of these places and churches, if you want to call them that, going up here and there, and these people that's coming in calling themselves preachers and teaching all of these ways to go and how easy it is, and you know that you could you stand up here and you say this to me, or you repeat this prayer, or just let me dip you in the water, or let me do this, and you're saved. I heard one man tell me here a while back that he could be saved just by shaking the preacher's hand. I said, no, you can't. You know, it's our responsibility, our duty as God's children to set an example of our faith. Yes, our faith gets weak. I know it does, each and every one of us. It's the way it is, but I can't tell you how to fix it, but I know the one who can. You know, if you look over at Ephesians chapter 6, at verse 16, he tells us, when he's talking about the armor of God, he tells us to take the shield of faith to fight off all the fiery darts of the wicked. We need that. We need that every day when we step out into the world. We need that every day for ourselves to fight off what the devil's throwing at us. We need that to show the rest of the world what we got. You know, and over in Matthew and chapter 17, I'm somewhere in over Matthew, I know he says, you know, you have the faith of a mustard seed. If you believe, you can move this mountain. Now, I don't think that means literally a mountain. I think it means anything that comes up in your life. It could be big or little. If you have the faith of a mustard seed and you believe, he'll take care of it. He will move that out of your life. You know, it's it's a way that we go out into the world, and not just I'm not saying it's just because of the world the way it is, but we got lost sinners in our church that's coming, and we need to let them see that we have faith in everything that we do, so they know that when they get lost and when they're lost and under conviction, when they call out to Lord, they got to believe that God's going to save their soul. They got to believe when they call out, when they have that drawing power, when he's drawing them into him, they've got to believe and know that Jesus came and what he done and that God wants to save their soul. They got to get everything out of the way, but they've got to know, but we've got to set an example so they can see us for that fact, but also so they can see how we believe and how we do after we've been saved and been one of God's children. We need to set examples for them to know, you know, one day we're going to be gone. They're the one that's got to take over and keep carrying us on. They need the example of the faith. You know, over in James in chapter 2, he says, faith without works is dead. They don't need to just hear us say we got faith. They need to see us have works of doing faith. That's a big thing. You know, we can all tell people and say, well, I got faith, but do you ever show it? Do people see it? That's what I'm trying to, I guess, get at this tonight here is if you have it, don't just say it. Let it be known. Let it be seen. You know, when something comes in and just not necessarily distracts you, but gives you a stumble in life, it's like me and one of the brothers back here a little bit ago was talking about how we seem to really call out to God hard when we're down in the valley. We're up on that mountain, we just seem to kind of roll on really easy. We still have the faith. We just ain't showing it as well. But we get down there in the valley, we're begging him. That's when we're earnestly praying like we need to be doing each and every day, not just when we're down in the valley. That's when we need to pray like that every day. You know, I preached the other night and was talking about how when Jesus was up on the mount and he brought the disciples and he told them to wait while he went ahead, the stones cast to pray. He was praying, and this gets me every time, but he prayed so hard that his sweat was like drops of blood. We can't get close to that. We can pray and pray, but I don't know if we could ever pray hard enough that our sweat would be like drops of blood, but that's praying. You know, that's calling out and doing it. But you know, when I was studying this last night and looking at it about the faith and looking at some of them coming through, that's what I went to, and I looked at the faith that you know, Noah was 500 years old, I think it was, when God called him and told him to build the ark, and he gave him all the measurements and told him to do this because it was going to be a great flood coming. He told him everything to do. I think it was, you can correct me if I was somewhere around 120 years, I think it took him to build the ark. And while doing this, I firmly believe, from what I've gathered, I think Noah preached to them every day, every opportunity he got, to let them know what was coming, to let them know what he was doing. God was fed up with the way the world was at that time. Now, how it could be any worse, I think, than it is today, I don't know. And I don't know how he ain't fed up with the world right now. But I'm telling you, Noah, when God called on him to do it, he feared him. Yeah. He had enough faith to know God told him, and if he didn't do it, there was going to be consequences. That he needed to go do it, and he did. Now, what do you think them people thought when Noah was doing this? Probably the same thing they think about some of us from time to time when we try to talk to them about the Lord. Because I know sometimes I get some people like, well, you're crazy. Well, that's fine. I'll be crazy. But when he comes back out of the eastern sky and it parts and you see me going home and you're begging, we'll see who's crazy. I'll be praying for you. But I'm trying to tell you, people don't want to listen anymore. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want to hear the truth is the problem. They don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what's convenient for their life and lifestyle. That's what they want today. And we got people out here that's letting them go that way and teaching them that, letting them think it's all right so they can bring them in and have their church house full. But don't none of them know the truth. You know, on down it says that, you know, he told Abraham to go to a land that Abraham had no idea where he was going. Abraham done the same. He feared the Lord. He didn't know where he was going, what he was doing, but he knew God told him, and he had the faith to know that if God told him, he was going to take care of it. It made me think back in, I didn't read it, I know, but it made me think of Job. And Job, to me, went through probably as much as anybody I could imagine ever having to go through. But he never gave up on praying and knowing that God was going to take care of him. That was what he knew. And he's probably had a lot worse obstacles come on to him and things happen to him than any of us ever have. But he never lost faith in knowing God was the one to turn to take care of him. You know, if you look over in Daniel, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these are just things that God brought to me when I was studying. You know, when Nebuchadnezzar built the image and told everybody, when you hear music, you need to bow to this image. And them three said no. They didn't cause a big scene. They just said, no, our God is not that. And, you know, that's basically what, no, we're not going to do it. And when he said he would throw them into the fiery furnace, they said, either way, we're good. That's what we got to remember when we're in the world today. Whatever people want to come at us with, you know, it don't matter. Either way, we're good. If you're God's children, either way, you're a winner. If you're doing what he puts upon you to do and somebody don't want to accept it, they want to get mad, well, they can just get mad. If it comes to and you know another thing that's just come to me, thank you, Lord, we worry about who we're going to offend or what about. These days you can't go out. Some people's probably worried they go out and start trying to preach to somebody or tell them something to getting shot anymore. I mean, the world's got that bad. It's got to the point where you honestly can't trust too many people anymore, and that's a shame. But also it teaches us to don't fear the ones that can kill the body, but fear the one who can kill the body and soul and send it to hell. Yeah. I know that's for the lost, and they need to know that, but that's also, you know, if we don't have the faith, we need to, especially if he has us something to do, We need to fear him, for if we don't do it. You know, it's and I know I'm telling you this, but I'm sure there's people going to say, well, that's easier said than done. You know, you're right. The carnal mind will lead you right off to the other direction just as quick as it can, because the old devil gets right up there in there. That's where he can get. He can't get here. Not if you've been saved by God's grace. But I want to tell you tonight that, you know, to think about when you have the hard times or bad things happen or something gets put in your way or something comes at you that you're unexpected or you don't think you deserve or shouldn't have, keep the faith. Keep it strong. Keep it strong for yourself, between you and God. But also keep it strong for an example for the others to see, so they know by your works that you have faith. Not just because you said it, but because you've shown it, that you truly believe, that you know, no matter how bad things get, that God has got you and it's all going to be okay. That's all I've got tonight, y'all. I know it was... It may have been scattered. It may not have been a lot, but that's what the Lord gave me to try to do. I hope that it went to wherever it needed to go. I ask y'all to continue to pray for me as I try to go out and get into places. And because I'll just tell you, it ain't really got to necessarily be a Missionary Baptist Church. They'll let me in the door. I'll go wherever I can go. If I can get my foot in one of these other denominations, I'll go. They need to hear the truth too. And they need to be saved if they ain't. I ain't saying that they can't be, but I'm saying if they're hearing the teachings that some of them that I've heard, they ain't being told what to do to know what to do when they're under conviction. Because it tells us every man will be under conviction sometime in their life. It's going to happen to each and every one. They got to know what to do. They need to know. They need to hear the truth to know to call out to God. You know, it made me think. My oldest son come home. He run into a guy yesterday or last night, wherever it may be, that was a different denomination and got to onto the subject of religion and how they believed. And I'm thankful so thankful for this old time way, and I'm thankful that I live in a country where I can freely take my children to where I know they can hear the truth. Because this man that he talked to was, I think he said he was might have been Catholic, but he totally disagreed when Tanner told him. He said, there's going to come a time in your life that conviction is going to sit down on you, and you've got to make the decision. Do you want to call out to God or not? And that guy said, no, that ain't the way it is. I'm not angry at him, but we sure need to be praying for them people that think that, because they've been deceived somewhere. Again, thank y'all. I thank the church. I think I'm done now, but I appreciate the church having me. And I guess I turn it back over to the brother. I don't know how y'all want to do, if you want to get a song or...
Touch me.